So these grocery stores came in after Rowan and Petty had started their store, which must have made them feel really, really nervous because some of them were chain stores.
It was really easy for us to compete against the chains. They didn't bother us too much. The more serious competition came a little bit later, like McCartney's and Sipes, stores like this that were locally owned and operated and had, you know, good owners and managers. They were tougher competition.
Why would the chains not be stiff competition for you?
In those days, for one thing, they were all union. They had high labor cost, and that translated into them having higher prices. Everything tended to be cookie cutter in those days. So if you had a Humpty Dumpty store, it was laid out a certain way, like all the other Humpty Dumpty stores. The cereal was always on a certain aisle, whereas the local stores tailored their business more to the market and their customers, which, of course, is what you want to do.
And they failed. They closed their doors.
Yeah, almost all the big chains are gone now.
You offered charge accounts?
Yes, we stayed with that because it made us different. In the old days, most all the stores did that. They had the charge accounts. But fast forward to 2000, for instance, no one was doing it except us. And we really quit opening new accounts, but people that were grandfathered in with a charge account, we continued that.
Did you become known for other things? I suppose customer service?
Yes, specialty food products, the custom cut meats, high quality beef. We only carried USDA Prime and Choice meat. Our bakery was just outstanding. In the 1990s, my wife Maureen started a catering business, which became phenomenally successful.
How about the pricing of the store as it started out in 45 and then up into 50? How did you compare price-wise to other stores?
Well, it's interesting. We always had the image of being the high-priced store. Everybody thought, oh, I can't afford to shop there and that kind of stuff. Really and truly, on the like items, we were competitively priced. But we had the image of being high-priced because when you have high-quality stuff, you charge more for it. The USDA Prime and Choice beef was more expensive, and we, you know, had a higher price than a store that had lesser quality. Same thing with the baked goods and the produce. But if you compared us on a Del Monte can of cut green beans, we were right with everybody else.
And that's been all along, even
yes.
Up until 2016.
Yes.
But everybody does believe that you're higher priced, and you're saying it's because of the products that were higher quality.
Yeah, so in some ways you could say, yes, we were higher priced, but we were offering higher quality products that cost more. I've had customers say to me, you know what, I thought this place was too expensive for me to shop in, but now that I've come here and I've shopped around the store, I realize you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Then there was a point when your grandfather, L.G. Rowan, retired.
Yes.
And he retired when?
He retired in 1969.
So then what happens? If he retires, then who comes in?
Okay. My father at that time, Robert J. Petty, as I said earlier, he returned to Tulsa in 1957. So he and my grandfather, Rowan, were partners. My grandfather, Petty, had retired pretty early in 1957. So they were partners, and then when my grandfather Rowan retired in 69, my father became the sole owner and bought him out. Then not too long after that, I came back from Vietnam and joined my father, and we went from there.
Now let's talk about your father, Robert J. Petty.
Yes.
Describe his personality.
He was kind of a tough guy and a tough, shrewd businessman. I learned a lot from him, and I think more than anything, I learned how to work. He had a tremendous work ethic. He would get up early in the morning and go hard at it until the end of the day, 6-7 days a week.
As you've alluded to, he was in the military as well.
He had been in World War II. He was on a B-17 crew flying out of England. They flew missions over Germany toward the end of the war. He got out, and it was a real shock to go to his mailbox one day in 1951 and find that he had been recalled into the service. We had to leave Tulsa, and at that time he owned a delicatessen. That was a huge upsetting blow to the family.
And you would have been how old?
I was about 4 years old at the time.
Okay, so then where did you go?
The first place we went was Savannah, Georgia, to the Air Force Base there. Might have been Hunter, but anyway, we went there, and he went through various phases of training in a B-47. So we went to Savannah, we went to Houston, Texas, went to Sacramento, California, finally ended up in Tucson, Arizona, at the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson. We were there for 3 years and then came back to Tulsa.
But why had he been recalled?
They were forming the Strategic Air Command. This was at the height of the Cold War. The Strategic Air Command was formed and built to provide long-range strategic bombing pretty much because of the threat of the Russians, and they had targets inside the Soviet Union. If you've ever seen the movie Failsafe, That's sort of what he did. And I remember him going on some of these missions. They would scramble the pilots, they'd get in the planes, the bombs would be armed, and they would head toward the Soviet Union. And then at some time, through coded messages, the bombers would be recalled and they would say, "This is a drill." And they never knew. And he said one time they got so deep, he thought they were actually going in. But they finally got recalled right before they came into Russian airspace.
He must have been a decorated soldier himself.
He was in World War II, yes. And of course, in the Cold War, you weren't really in combat. You were just training to be in combat.
Right.
He was in World War II.
Yeah.
He was part of the 8th Air Force.